We live in a world, I think today, in 2020. Oh, by the way, did you know February 2nd, 2020, if you do it backwards, it's the same as if you do it forwards. So you're all part of history at this moment. But we live in a world of political correctness, I think. Everybody is kind of sensitive. Have you noticed that? I was just talking to a woman. I was at a meeting in Washington, D.C. a few weeks ago. At lunch, we were talking about it. She said, I was at a place, and this guy kept on sneezing. And so I said, God bless you. And then he reprimanded her for mentioning the name God. So I said, well, what'd you do? She said, well, the heck with him. Political correctness. People are so hesitant. You know, you can't even say to somebody, well, I can't even call you he or she. We're coming up with all new words. That's the world in which we live today, right? But it's probably not all that unusual. It just has taken different forms and shapes, different cultures. And today, we celebrate the feast of the presentation of Jesus, right? Well, when he got to the point of the age of 30, was Jesus politically correct? No. The establishment rejected him, the Jewish leadership, right? And they were waiting for every moment when Jesus would say something wrong, right? It's constantly in the scriptures how they were waiting and listening until finally he entered the city of Jerusalem and he was accused of saying weird things like God was his father and he was doing witchcraft, huh? Curing people. And one time somebody said, well, you're the devil. You're doing this in the name of Beelzebub. He challenged that as well, right? You see, they were looking for Jesus, a lot of these people, because they had already created the Messiah in their own mind. Back then, a lot of the zealots just wanted to get rid of the Romans, right? Get out of our country. We're a captive people. They wanted to get rid of Herod, right? Because he represented the Romans. He was like the puppet leader. And I'm sure there were all these different factions who were looking for the perfect Messiah, the perfect way to sing the Psalms, to chant the Psalms. There was probably even political intrigue among the chief priests and Pharisees, right? Who should be the high priest for that year? Oh, he's the high priest. Because he knows somebody who's a cousin of a person who knows somebody, right? But Jesus preached what he preached, his mission. And what's it really radical? Oh gosh, he talked about, oh my goodness, love and forgiveness and being open to other people. Even though they might have been a Samaritan or a leper or a guy hanging from the tree, a tax collector, prostitute. He interacted with all these people and people were saying, oh, can't be God. He must be a liar. He's a charlatan. He's a magician. Sleight of hand. He really didn't feed all those people. That's all pretend. Well, you tell the people that he fed that they were eating make-believe bread and fish, huh? And Jesus was perfect. You know, an interesting theological question, can I give you one? When did Jesus recognize that he was the Son of God? Huh? Did he recognize it at his birth? We don't know. It's not mentioned in the scriptures. Did he recognize it as we celebrate the presentation? We don't know. Hey, Mom, don't worry about feeding me. I'm fine. I'll just make it myself. We know at one moment, remember when Jesus kind of disappeared? It's one point where we see Mary and Joseph a little irritated, right? They were on a all of a sudden, poof, Jesus is gone. And they found him in the temple, right? And he said, what are you so worried about, you guys? He didn't say it that way. He said it in Aramaic, probably. He said, I must be about my Father's business. A key indication, right? You know, sometimes when people are speaking to me about the possibility of joining the Catholic Church, you know, I have a sense of humor. I like to kid people. A month and a half ago, I got the Pope laughing, so what the heck? He said he liked my sense of humor. So he really did. But sometimes they'll say, Bishop, I want to be a Catholic. And I'll say, are you looking for the perfect church? Because if you join, it's not going to be perfect anymore. Isn't that true? Are you all part of a church and are you perfect? No. None of us are perfect. Pope Francis talks about the church is like a hospital for sick people. What is sick? Sinners. Sinners. And they'll look at me like, oh, so right away I have to offer an explanation. Because in this area of Tennessee, I need every Catholic that I can get. Today, as we celebrate the presentation, it wasn't only a moment really, thousands of years ago. Every moment of every day, Jesus presents himself to us. Why do we bless candles today? Why do we bless a candle on Holy Saturday? It's symbolic, but it's real. Because the world can be a very dark place. For individuals sometimes. For culture, for world, and even for the church. All the stuff that the church has been dealing with these last years. Very dark place. And a candle is something important, huh? It seems like it's alive sometimes, doesn't it? It dances around, even though those things that are battery operated, they didn't work. There's just something about a candle. It burns itself down, it flickers, it moves. That's why we don't bless flashlights, huh? It's a symbolic of something that almost seems alive at times. Christ, on Holy Saturday night, the priest or the deacon or sometimes the choir will sing, Christ the Light. Thanks be to God, we chant. The church is dark. And then that flickering lamp, or that flickering candle reminds us that Christ is alive. Christ is real. Christ is one with us. And in this day and age, sometimes I think we would rather put our candle under a bushel basket. Remember in the scriptures? Now, you might have to explain to some of the younger folks actually what a bushel basket is. Don't hide it under a plastic tub that you bought at Office Max. They could relate to that. Sometimes we're shy or hesitant, or sometimes we even apologize because we are Christians. We don't want to offend anybody. We don't want to say, God bless you, right? But is that who we are as a church? It's not like getting in political arguments on Facebook or Twitter, right? You never convince anybody. But it's the way we witness our life. The way we witness to another person. The intentional discipleship to be true followers of Jesus. We'll never be perfect, right? never be perfect, but we'll be authentic. Today, on this feast of Candlemas, purification of the Lord, I install a new pastor. His family, where's his family? They're over here. They all think he is. I won't tell you the real story, huh? Especially Dad. We remember his mom who passed away a couple years ago, very suddenly. He ain't perfect. You know, in days past, people used to say, you know, a priest should not be on a pedestal. He should not have the finest food and cars and rectories, and so people would like to knock the priest off the pedestal. But you know, sometimes now in our day and age, we place a priest or a pastor or even a bishop or a pope on a pedestal, thinking that that person should be perfect. They should always agree with me. Right? And so a priest might preach something that makes you a little uncomfortable. You should see the letters that I get. Right? I always know when there's a movement in a parish that people plot to get rid of the priest. They'll write a letter, and all the letters look the same. In fact, once I received a letter, and it was the format of the letter to send to me, and all they did was fill in the blocks, you know? And sometimes we demand of each other that same perfection. That's why all these, have you ever been de-liked on Facebook? Huh? Or Twitter? Or anything else? We demand perfection from another. But do we demand it of ourselves? Isn't that why Jesus talked about the plank and the speck? He's a pretty smart guy, huh? He knows us very well. So today, I present to you officially Father Peter, born of a family, not perfect, but a man who over 25 years ago stood before the bishop, and when his name was called out, and he said, present, atsum, I am here. Not a perfect priest, for none of us are perfect, but one who is willing to be of service to God's people. So I'm going to ask all of you, as a part of this ritual, to work with him. You know, and if he says something in a homily that you don't like, don't write to me. I get enough letters of people who write to me because they don't like what I do. Talk to him. Talk to him. Avoid gossip. He is here to give his life for you. And he knows what's expected as a priest. He's been a pastor of a number of parishes. It's hard for him to keep a job sometimes. No, he's beautifully committed to the Word of God, the sacraments, and to be of service to you, God's people. Right? You're not perfect. He's not perfect. I'm not perfect. At the beginning of December, when I was in Rome for the Ad Limitem, there was a meeting on that Tuesday, where 30 plus bishops gathered together with Pope Francis for about 3 hours. Just us, the Pope, and his translator. He understands English completely. But he's tone deaf, and he says, English makes no sense. You got 4 words spelled the same way, and it's all pronounced differently, right? And it was a wonderful experience. I wish I had one of those Go cameras on my head so you could all see it. If you've seen the movie The Two Popes, it pictured Pope Benedict in a very incorrect way. But when you saw Bergoglio, the Pope, in that movie, that's the Bergoglio that I saw. And when I first met him, I said, "Holy Father, the Church of Knoxville, the Diocese of Knoxville is praying for you." And he pulled me into himself. And if you get our magazine, it's that center photo. And he said, "For or against?" And then we bonded. In fact, at the end of it, the Pope did say, "Bishop, I enjoy your joy, but especially your sense of humor." Because I asked him a couple other questions. I asked for a cell phone, actually. Because sometimes people are looking for the perfect Pope, right? Or the perfect bishop, the perfect priest, the perfect choir, the perfect friend. But remember, we're judged by how we judge. So to you, I give you Father Peter, and to Father Peter, I give to you. Right? To build the kingdom of God in Alcoa and Merville. Right? To build the kingdom of God. We're surrounded by a commercial area. We're surrounded by neighborhoods, a highway, an airport, Catholic and non-Catholic, Christian and non-Christian, people who have given up the faith, and people who are searching for the faith. You are all the candle. Allow your candle to be burned brightly. Don't hide your faith under a bushel basket or a tub from Office Max. Don't hide it, because you are all disciples of Jesus. Teach the faith, not only by words. Remember what St. Francis said? Preach the gospel always, and sometimes you can even use words. Mission. Father Peter said in March, you'll celebrate the 20th anniversary of this church, huh? And then before that as a parish. And I know you've had a lot of pastors, you know, even since I've been here. And it's not because you were mean and I moved them. Look at, going back to the situation, you had a pastor here that the Pope interrupted the parish, huh? When he named Bishop Van a bishop, right? And please pray for him and his diocese. Last week, one of his young priests, only 36, took his own life. That was a real tragedy, because he was never exhibited any depression or no allegations or anything. And what they found out right before the funeral, he was just placed on a new medication because he had stomach problems. And you ever see these commercials when they say, you know, it could bring up suicidal thoughts, or you could become this or that? That actually was the case. He was having these horrible nightmares, and his personality changed as the taking of his life. So we pray for him and for that diocese. And I know there's been other pastors, so I promise, to the best of my ability, you're stuck with them. And I'm glad that Father Andreas is here, and Father Adam. Father Adam's here temporary, but you never know, he might stay. We'll see. So anyway, I'll present to you Father Peter officially. Pray for him as he prays for you. And like I said, please, as individuals, allow your candle to burn brightly. Because the world in which we live desperately needs witnesses of. And so, Father Peter, Father Peter is to serve as pastor of this parish family of Our Lady Fatima. As he formally begins this service, even though he's been here for some time, it is right to remind both pastor and people of the mutual commitment that you make to one another in this new relationship. And so I ask Father Peter, are you willing to proclaim the Word of God in the tradition of the apostles, compassionately and faithfully, to the people now trusted to your care?
I am.
Are you willing to celebrate the sacraments of the church and thus nourish and sustain your brothers and sisters in body and in spirit?
I am.
Are you willing to guide and counsel and cooperate with the people of Our Lady of Fatima in the work of building up the church in this area and in the work of service to all who are in need?
I am.
And now to all of you. Are you willing to hear with open ears and open hearts the Word of God as it is proclaimed to you? Are you willing to encourage and support Father Peter in his responsibility in prayer, church, and especially to celebrate with you the Lord's sacrifice, the Mass?
I am.
Are you willing to cooperate with him as he exercises the service of pastor, enabling this community to grow in the light of the gospel?
Amen.
And I invite everyone to please stand as we now profess the faith which we share, after which Father Peter will then take his oath of fidelity. I believe
in one God, Father.
I, Father Peter Iorio, in assuming the office of pastor, promise that in my words and in my actions, I shall always preserve communion with the Catholic Church. With great care and fidelity, I shall carry out the duties incumbent on me toward the Church, both universal and particular, in which, according to the provisions of the law, I have been called to exercise my service. In fulfilling the charge entrusted to me in the name of the Church, I shall hold fast to the deposit of the faith in its entirety. I shall faithfully hand it on and explain it, and I shall avoid any teachings contrary to it. I shall follow and foster the common discipline of the entire church, and I shall maintain the observance of all ecclesiastical laws, especially those contained in the Code of Canon Law. With Christian obedience, I shall follow what the bishops, as authentic doctors and teachers of the faith, declare, or what they, as those who govern the church, establish. I shall also faithfully assist the diocesan bishops so that the apostolic activity exercised in the name and by mandate of the church may be carried out in communion with the church. So help me God and God's holy gospels on which I place my hand.
You can be seated. These are certificates that Father Peter will sign, as well as two witnesses. One will be kept in the chancery. So when the Pope is elected, before he is presented to the people, a cardinal comes out and says, "Habemus Papum," we have a Pope. So "Habemus Pastor," you have an official pastor. This is usually the time when I tell him about deficits and debts and stuff like that, but he already knows. Please stand.